We begin this Advent season with the Advent wreath. It is a perfect circle of evergreens representing the never-ending, never-dying love of God. And these candles represent several things variously. In one sense, they represent the human soul in utter darkness without the light of life in Jesus. Across the weeks of Advent, we hear Old Testament prophecies. We connect with our Old Testament brothers and sisters who were passionately crying out for the coming of Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of God. And each week we listen particularly to the major prophet Isaiah. This morning, Andre Essington's Main Street crew. Where's Andre? Andre is not here this morning, but his Main Street crew, our new small group ministry, is here to light this first candle. Across the weeks, as these candles grow in brightness and intensity, we claim that through the Word of God written and the Word of God risen in Christ, the brightness of our lives can grow as well. Listen now to this first prophecy from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, this shows how contemporary and up-to-date we are. You're going to have to do that, too. In a minute, it's going to be this candle. But our response to the lighting of the Advent candle is the cry of our Old Testament brothers and sisters. O come, Emmanuel. O come, God with us. So as we light the first candle on the Advent wreath now, we respond, O come, Emmanuel. Excellent. Let's thank these good folks for sharing in worship this morning. It would mean a lot to me if you would take a moment to find the white connection card in your worship folder, especially if you're a guest in our presence. I simply want to know you're here and help facilitate connections. I'd like to be connected with you, and I'd like for you to be connected with this growing body of believers here in our 9:30 service. If you'll hold on to that at the end of the service, we will make reference to it. We're continuing in our Angel Tree campaign, and here's one little boy angel. We've had about half of the 250 angels taken in the first Sunday. I would really like to see if we could take the rest of the angels this week and next week. We're asking to spend about $25 or $30 for each child. There are instructions available, some warm clothing and a toy that will benefit a child right here in this community. I'm really glad we're working with J.H. House Elementary School in the counseling department there, not only because that's one of our great schools, but because Mr. House was a part of this congregation and his daughter, whose name is Caroline Morgan, is a part of this congregation. We have had a connection through the name J.H. House for many, many years in this church, and I would like for you to join me in taking an angel, praying for him or her, and come to the realization that even in a great county like ours, there are boys and girls who are truly, truly needy. I get pushback every time I say that. But I have been given the statistics by the school system. We have boys and girls that live in cars in the Walmart parking lot who are enrolled in our schools. That's the kind of need that we have. And I'm asking you to open your hearts to a young boy or young girl right here in our community to bless them in Christ's name. May I give a huge shout out to our children's department for the outstanding contribution to the Conyers City Parade yesterday. A perfectly proportioned replica of the front of the Conyers First United Methodist Church. The float was filled with boys and girls from our children's department. The driver is here, Brother Rob. But I want to say a special shout out to one of the really quiet behind-the-scenes servants of our great church. And he's an excellent guy. He's a Georgia Tech graduate. He's got to be an excellent guy. His name is Michael Jackson, who took exact measurements of our church photos and did a CAD cam to make sure that the float was exactly proportionally correct. I like those kind of people. Michael, you don't know it, but Michael stays behind after the 11 o'clock service every week and does the one job nobody wants to do. He collects everybody's used Kleenex and candy wrappers and notes they've written about the preacher. He collects all of those because he's got the heart of a servant. I want to thank all of you in the children's department for making that contribution to the Conyers Parade. Really great. And if you haven't seen the float, get on somebody's Facebook page because it really is an incredibly awesome thing. Tonight, our chancel choir and Young Joys will be presenting our main Christmas concert, 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. We'll have about, I think, between 90 and 100 that will be a part of that presentation tonight. And we'd love for you to come as we begin our season together. In our prayers this morning, we are crossing over from darkness to light. And our world desperately needs the light of hope and peace in Jesus Christ. We pray for the Middle East, for Israel, for Palestine, for Egypt, and the challenges that we see. We know that our military is likely going to be involved at one level or another, and we want to pray for our military men and women. We want to claim seriously, based on God's word, that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that one day there is coming by an act in the will of God, a day when we can all rejoice with the angels, claiming peace on earth and goodwill toward men and women. I wonder if we could begin praying for that today as we enter this season of Advent together. Would you get quiet with me right where you are? We live in a busy world. We got stuff ringing on our belt buckles all the time. We're always behind. Our bosses are wanting more out of us. We've got more stuff to do with kids than we've ever done before. Our pulse just races. Wouldn't it be great this morning if we could just really be still and imagine what little sounds you do hear, sort of from the HVAC system, the Spirit of God just wanting to cover you and to grant you the hope of Advent, which is peace. Perhaps it would be comfortable for you that you might close your eyes and bow your head and maybe just lift your palms up right where you are. And in doing so, say to God, I'm really ready to receive from you. In the quietness of our hearts, let us pray to the Lord. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we begin this Advent season, we declare with confidence and joy that your kingdom is dawning. That you are, by the power of your Spirit, turning this world and all of us from the darkness of sin to the light of hope and holiness. God, we acknowledge that there is so much darkness around us. The threat of war, nation against nation, brother or sister against brother or sister, uncertainty in the financial markets, uncertainty about the future of our country, uncertainty about what kind of world our children will inherit from us. God, there is so much uncertainty, so much darkness around us. We come today to claim the hope that we find alone in Jesus Christ, the light of hope and the light of holiness. That is to say, that the darkness that is still in us can be brought to light. That which is wrong inside of us that's keeping us back can be burned up. Chains really can fall off. Prison doors really can be opened. We really can live into the prophecy of Isaiah that the glory of the Lord is radiating into our lives and through us. Great God, we always ask for the forgiveness of sin, but as we begin this season of Advent, we want to be honest with our sin. We want to honestly confess before you that we desperately need to be saved from ourselves. We have allowed certain habits, certain thought patterns, certain emotions to overcome us. We celebrate in this season that as the Holy Spirit overcame Mary and birthed in her the very presence of the kingdom, that you, through the Holy Spirit now, would overcome us and birth in us a reason to hope again, a desire to live rightly again, a passion to be your people of peace. God, as your kingdom dawns, we pray for men and women in the armed forces as they face what may be some difficult days in the future. We pray for brothers and sisters in the Middle East who claim by God a right to property. We pray for our missionary men and women seeking to be a light across all kinds of human-made boundaries. And we trust today, especially as we come to Holy Communion, that you do want to work in and through us for the salvation of the world. And so we pray, Almighty God, as your kingdom dawns, turn us from the darkness of sin to the light of holiness, that we may be ready to meet you as our Savior and to serve you as our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us, we pray. And because we who are many and from different backgrounds want to be one for the sake of Christ and His church, we join our voices boldly to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I thank you for the way you continue to grow in faith and give evidence of your life of faith in offering out of a heart of gratitude resources for the salvation of the world. You have helped to keep us really strong in mission and ministry this year. And this morning I invite you to prepare your morning offering yet again. And as we move toward the end of the year, ensuring that we can fulfill every ministry and mission promise we have made, and in the year with strength as we look to 2013. As our ushers come forward, I invite you to join me in offering your heartbeats of love in negotiable form. This morning I've decided to extend my teaching series, which I've entitled Praying the Names of God. We looked at five of the some 26 Hebrew names and titles for God in the Old Testament. But I've decided this morning to extend it another 2 weeks by looking at two titles in the Old Testament that are directly related to Jesus. They're both found in the Old Testament and revealed in the book of Matthew chapter 1, which seems very appropriate because Matthew is the most Jewish of the Gospels. Matthew is speaking to those who knew the prophecies of the Old Testament the best. And so this morning I want to focus on this sixth title, this sixth name for God. Now in our common English, we pronounce this word I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, Emmanuel, but that's not the Hebrew pronunciation. And I know you are dying to learn the Hebrew pronunciation so we can more fully identify with those generations who were longing for Messiah to come. We pronounce the word I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L or E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. It can be either as Emmanuel. Would you say that with me? Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel in Hebrew means either amongst us or with us. I kind of like the amongst us because it's more corporate. It's the very presence with us as the people of God. Emmanuel And then El, as we learned from the very first in this series, is the shortened form of Elohim, the fullness of the Creator God, whom we believe has revealed himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So before we read the scriptures, let's get ready to say it right. We pronounce this title, Immanuel. Let's do it again. Immanuel. From Isaiah the prophet, chapter 7 and verse 14, these powerful words. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, colon, behold, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Immanuel. Now, there's an historical context for this particular setting. King Ahaz is up against some people that would try to overcome him. Out of a sense of false humility, he refuses to ask God to give a sign of his saving presence. But the prophet says, but God is going to give you a sign anyway. In the context of Isaiah chapter 7, this Immanuel reference is to God's desire to rescue, save, and restore God's people of every time, of every generation, wherever they find themselves. It was these who understood the Old Testament so well that made the connection between God's eternal promise of Immanuel and the birth of the Messiah. So we go from Isaiah 7:14 to Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23. The Old Testament prophet linked with the most Jewish of the Gospels. And St. Matthew records these words. So all of this, the birth of Jesus, was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Immanuel. Now, in the text of your Bible, you notice there's a parenthesis there that was likely not there when the Gospel of Matthew was written, because it would not have needed to be there. Because the Hebrew people to whom Matthew was writing would have known instinctively what Immanuel means. But the early church decided, you know, there's such power in this name, we don't want the church to miss what the name means. So in parenthesis, it's not an original part of the text, we think, but as an interpretive tool, sort of the cliff notes for Matthew chapter 1, Immanuel means, as we've described, as we've defined, God with us. God amongst us. Now, linking Matthew 1, 22 and 23 with Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 indicates why God is among us. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week as we look at Jesus' name, Jesus, and its derivation from the Old Testament. But clearly, the purpose of this sign is that God's people be rescued from their deep darkness, restored and empowered to truly be a light in the world. I want us to focus this morning on this thought of God with us. And I want to link it with an idea from the Old Testament. There are a number of wonderful references in the Old Testament about the power of friendship. For instance, Proverbs chapter 17 and 17 says that there is a brother or sister born for us for just this kind of a time of trouble and adversity. And by the way, you don't have an outline today because apparently we're pushing our central network printer so hard that it just gave up the ghost at the end of the week. And it apparently scanned in my message and said, I just can't handle printing this today. So we don't have an outline, but I will print some later on. God says that there is a brother or sister born for each of us to share in our troubles. Then in Proverbs 18, just one chapter over, that wonderful promise from the Word of God that there is for each of us a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Good times and bad times, hard times and joyful times. In our modern urban dictionary, you can look up a three-letter abbreviation. that started among high school girls about the time that you signed the yearbook. Do we still have yearbooks? Remember yearbooks? And this three-letter phrase, this three-letter abbreviation, maybe you know it, maybe you've heard of it. It's BFF. Anybody heard of BFF? BFF stands for Best Friend Forever. Do you have a BFF? I hope you do. May I suggest today that through Emmanuel, God with us, God amongst us, that God is offering us truly our best friend, truly forever, in the person of Jesus Christ. I'd like to think with you this morning about how Jesus Christ wants to be, can be, your BFF, and how His presence in your life can be that source of security and hope, that one that you can share your most intimate details with, the one you are proud to invite on all of the adventures of your life, the one that you cannot imagine living a day without. May I suggest that Emmanuel can be abbreviated BFF? There are four things that I'd like for you to think with me about today, because I want to look at the BFF friendship between Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus, and St. Peter, the first among the disciples and apostles, the one with whom I frequently associate because Peter had a big mouth. And Peter spoke before he acted. And Peter could be persuaded by the majority opinion to change his own opinion. I like Peter. I identify with Peter. I want us to think for just a few minutes today about the BFF relationship between Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus, and Peter. And there are four things among the many things in that relationship that I would like to suggest to you as gifts this Christmas from the heart of God for you. First of all, being BFFs with Jesus means allowing yourself to find your real mission. I'm surrounded by a lot of frustrated people. And they really shouldn't have any need to be frustrated. I mean, they're smart, they're good looking, educated, been given opportunities, most of whom are gainfully employed and even doing well in their employment, yet there's an underlying frustration. It's like what they do day after day after day doesn't really have any meaning anymore. Yeah, it's paying the bills, but oh well, it's nothing more than just paying the bills. Do you know something of that frustration? Having to go to work because you have to go to work, rather than going to work because it really fits who you are, and you see in the midst of the hours you were investing in the day, something redemptive happening. I think in a sense that was Peter. In Matthew's gospel and in chapter 16, Peter and Jesus are having a conversation, and Jesus turns to Peter, and I remember standing in that place in the Holy Land, and he asks Peter, "Who do others say that I am?" And Peter got it right this time, and he responds with one of the great affirmations of faith in all of the Bible. And forgive the King James, but I like the King James the best. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Messiah. You are the Emmanuel that your people have been longing for." Jesus affirms Peter, but then offers him an incredible gift. He turns back to him and calls him by name, Simon Bar-Jonah. That in Hebrew literally means Simon, son of John. "I'm going to change your name." Well, not exactly change your name, but I am going to give you a title that will help define your purpose, the reason for which you were created. And he says, "Peter, you are the rock." Petra in Greek means rock. "And upon this rock I will," what? "Build the ecclesia," the gathering of God's people. "I will build my church." When Peter decided to become a BFF with Jesus, acknowledging that he's the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus gives him a redefined purpose. I wonder, what would it do for your life, for your energy level, for your sense of hope, your sense of passion, to hear God through Jesus give you a new title, a redefined purpose for your life? I believe that's the first gift of Christmas. And in claiming Emmanuel as your BFF, I'd like for you to spend some time in these weeks leading up to Christmas saying, Lord, what's my new name? What's my new title? What's the new focus for me as 2013 begins? Secondly, I'd like to suggest from this relationship with St. Peter that being Jesus' BFF means hearing him say a phrase of words that are repeated over and over and over again. Now, we already know that the most often repeated promise in the Bible is, I will be with you. But the most often repeated affirmation, hope to God's people is, if I'm going to quote the King James again, these words, fear not. Did you know that more than 60 times in the Bible, either angels who are messengers of God or Jesus himself speaks into the most challenging circumstances of life and says, you do not need to be afraid. Now, why is this spoken so often? Because God knows we become afraid. Now, we don't like to admit that, do we? That's why we have deodorant. Because we don't want any... Am I being too honest? That we don't want anybody to see us sweat. And I know you can get sweaty by doing a good hard day's work, but you can also get sweaty when the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet and the unders of your arms get... Because there's that sense of incredible angst. Is this the right thing to do? Can I do it? Do I have the confidence? Time after time after time, the Lord Jesus speaks in the New Testament and often to Peter and says, you don't have any reason to be afraid. On the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, where Jesus' glory becomes visually seen to this great triumvirate of disciples. They are speechless, knees knocking, and this is not fear meaning reverence. This is fear meaning, oh my gosh, fear. And in the midst of their speechlessness, Jesus says, do not be afraid. When Jesus calls Peter to demonstrate his faith and walk on the water, and as long as he's looking at Jesus, everything's okay. But then he's thinking, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And what happens to him? He begins to sink. And Jesus says, fear not. The disciples, as they were hiding in the upper room on Resurrection Day, and faithful women were attending to the tomb, and Jesus appears resurrected in glory, speaks to those women and says, fear not. I think the second great gift of being a BFF with Jesus is the confidence of knowing that you really are never alone. How many of you remember as a little kid being afraid to walk into a dark room? Because there are monsters under the bed, right? There are spiders in the closet. And yet, the companionship of your mom or the companionship of your dad changed everything. We laugh now, but my family that lives here, the three, my two nephews and my niece, love Disney. It's like Mecca, you know, it's just like the place to go. And they love, especially now, they've changed the name. It's not the movie studio one. It was Universal's now, what, Hollywood Studios, and the Tower of Terror, the elevator, right? What's it called? Yeah. Tower of Terror. And I remember when my little nephew, oh my gosh, he would hold on to my brother's leg, screaming and kicking and crying going into that haunted house. Now, you know, he's like seven. And, you know, now he's a big man. But I noticed last time we were there, that big man, the closer he got to actually getting in, you know, you go down and get in the elevator, the closer he got to his daddy's hand holding on. You know, there's a fear factor in all of us, right? Not just the TV show. Did you read about the guy that was an expert at eating roaches? And then he died because he choked from eating roaches. Ding, ding, ding. Don't eat roaches. It's not really good for you. There's a fear factor in all of us, and God knows it, which is why more than 60 times He feels the need to say, "Fear not, do not be afraid." Being a BFF with Jesus gives you the confidence to face whatever you need to face because you're not alone. Where are you afraid right now? At home, at work, at school? With your own sense of image? With your own sense of the future? When you're a BFF with Jesus, you can have the confidence that He wants to whisper these words into your ears, "Fear not." And I'm convinced when we do not have to be afraid of God, we do not have to be afraid of anyone or anything. My spiritual life was shaped in part by my late maternal grandfather who lived in Texas. And I'm convinced all great Methodists come from Texas. Just ask Texas Methodist or Texas Baptist and they'll tell you all great servants come from Texas. And my grandfather gave me a plaque early in my ministry that he had had in his office as a CPA for many, many years. And it simply says this: "The man who kneels before God can stand up to anything." And I found that more true today than ever in my life. The confidence of your BFF saying to you, "Do not be afraid," is powerful. This Christmas, I think that's a gift that He wants to give you. In the midst of your fear, ask your BFF, Emmanuel, to make real His promise: "Do not be afraid." Thirdly, when Jesus is your BFF, you can be certain that there is someone in your life who understands that life is hard, that there is a fragileness to life, that there are struggles, and that all of us are marked at one level or another with hurt. It was Peter, perhaps, who understood this the best, because it is he that connects Isaiah in chapter 53 with Jesus. "By His stripes, by His wounds, the wounds of the cross, we are healed." Peter understood his own hurts. Peter understood his own disappointments and found in Jesus Christ the power to move beyond what got him down. That's why I'm so passionate about Holy Communion, that we live into the promise of the Old Testament. We live into the promise that St. Peter gives us, that by the painful experience that Jesus had in His own life, we can find the substance for healing grace in our lives. Interesting that God, through the Bible, records those challenging moments in Jesus' own life. Hey, He was born like the rest of us were, and most of the time when you're born, you're held up by your ankles, at least on TV, right? And what happens? How does life begin? With a good pop. Anybody felt popped lately? And this was before the day of all the stuff you go through, you know, no little sugar cubes with the polio thing on it like I had when I was little, and no shots and none of that. You were just exposed. You were just out there with all the world. Jesus knew something about having His own family turn against Him and His friends. Jesus knew the pain of physical suffering. Jesus knew what it was like to lose someone in His own life, including His own best friend. Jesus knew what it was like to face a death sentence. And just about the time the devil said, "Gotcha," on the third day — and by the way, God does great things in 3 days' time — Jesus came forth bodily, resurrected, to say, "There is nothing that we cannot handle together." What's the specific thing that's hurting you right now? Peter says, "Let His stripes be your source of healing grace." So far we've learned from Peter that when you're best friends with Jesus, He will redefine your purpose. He will give you a new name. And when you're best friends with Jesus, He will be a constant source of encouragement. Do not be afraid. Fear not. When you're BFFs with Jesus, there is that someone who is there who has already walked through what you are walking through and conquered it. And lastly, when you're BFFs with Jesus, you can know for sure that you're never going to be excluded. Deep in my heart is a passion for evangelism. I don't know where it came from, but I can't get away from it. And God has given me some really special moments with older guys in the ministry of evangelism, who have lived far from God and have the marks to prove it. And I can remember so many experiences, so many encounters with older guys, finally ready to get right, but struggling with their past and saying, I just can't believe that God can forgive me for this, and that. I just can't believe that God could ever forgive me. There was an encounter between Peter and Jesus that sets it right for me. Just as Jesus was fixing to go to the cross for you and me, Peter is in the court of Caiaphas, and he's recognized as one of the disciples because of his unique accent, and Peter twice denies knowing Jesus. But twice isn't enough. There's a third opportunity for Peter to reveal himself, and he denies Jesus a third time, and the rooster crows. The Bible indicates through the Gospel of St. Luke that just before Peter denies Jesus the third time, that there is an exchange of the eye between Peter and Jesus. It's like Jesus has Peter in his sights and sees him denying knowing Jesus. And yet, Jesus turns and goes to the cross for Peter. And frankly, for every single one of us who have ever denied him, betrayed him, made fun of him, scoffed him. Which is why one of my favorite phrases in all of the Bible is this promise from St. Paul. While we were still sinners, while we were still screwing things up, Christ died for us. That's the best good news that somebody needs this Advent. You've tried it on your own, and you have the marks to bear it. And your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your spouse or kids, it's thin. It's like about to fray and go. Maybe you're beyond that, and you're just living in a state of isolation. You're really living in a state of despair. And you wonder, could God forgive you for what you've gone through? The fourth gift, the gift that you may need most this Advent, is this. When you make Jesus your BFF, nothing can separate you from the love of God. I wonder if you come to the place in your own life where you've asked Jesus to be your BFF. Someone you don't have to hide from or pretend from. Someone that you want to invite to walk with you into every circumstance, every relationship, every day. Asking him to redefine your purpose, giving you a new name, a new title, a new job description, as it were. Asking you to speak into the midst of the fear that is gripping you and sapping the life out of you, these words, fear not, I'm with you. Have you asked him to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of whatever it is that's got you paralyzed? He will. Have you asked him to prove that nothing can separate you from him and that by faith you can be reconciled? I believe when God sent us the sign, Immanuel, God amongst us, God with us, he was extending to us an opportunity to become BFFs. And I'd like to invite you this morning to ask Jesus Christ to become truly your best friend forever. And I believe he will. And there could be no greater invitation than through the sacrament of Holy Communion, when we realize the depth of giving that he made on our behalf before we ever came to him. You see, the goal is not for us to clean ourselves up to be good enough for him, but rather to give him permission to make us the women and men that he wants to be. This morning, you can literally by faith receive the power of his gracious presence through Holy Communion and make Jesus your BFF. Now, as the church, we're concerned not only about our personal relationship with the Lord, but being friends with the community. After you receive Holy Communion today, it is our great tradition at Conyers First to leave a free will offering separate from the regular offering to help meet the needs of people right here in our community. I mentioned that earlier, and there's a basket here, and there's a basket on this side. And you're going to make it possible, I believe, for us to give away more than $13,000 to people right here in our community who really, really, really do need a hand up. After you receive Holy Communion today, I invite you to leave a special offering, a token of friendship between Conyers First and this community. I invite you to prepare your hearts now as together we come to the Lord's table. Hear now this gracious invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament as together we pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Because of all that God has done for us in Emmanuel, I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets who looked for that day when justice would roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation would not lift up sword against nation, neither would they study war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who revere you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things and the rich you send away empty. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from the slavery of sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah tells us that He is our Immanuel. But the prophecy of Isaiah also tells us that He is our suffering servant. And it is these words we claim. He was wounded for our transgressions. That's yours and mine. He was bruised for our iniquities. Mine and yours. The chastisement, the punishment, the whipping for our sins, the whipping that we deserve, was upon Him. And by His stripes, by His wounds, we are healed. And the breaking of the bread, as a reminder of the stripes that He experienced for you and me, though a bone was not broken, His flesh was terribly broken for you and me. My prayer is that God's healing miracle will begin in your life. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in this ancient hymn of praise as together we say, O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered to whosoever will come today, regardless of your church membership or background, if you seek to begin to know Jesus as your BFF, you are invited now to the Lord's table. I invite you to come by the center aisle, receive just a dollop of hand sanitizer since we dip out of a common cup together. Receive a consecrated wafer, ever so gently and reverently dip it into the chalice, and allow these two tokens by faith to become for you the body and blood of Christ, the bread of heaven, and the cup of salvation given for you. All is prepared. You were invited now to come. I invite you to join me in the prayer of thankful dedication, because this powerful post-communion prayer speaks of the mystery of God giving Himself to us in Immanuel. Let us pray together. Eternal God, we give You thanks for this holy mystery in which You have given Yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of Your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise for the benediction. And following the benediction, I would invite you to stay for just an extra minute to complete your connection card. I'm running just a bit behind for our third service this morning. But on the back of the card is an opportunity for you to respond to the Word of God today, including the possibility of saying, I'd like to learn what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, truly to make Him my BFF. I could have no more important conversation with you than that conversation. How to get started right. How to receive the Methodist gift of assurance in knowing that you know that you belong to Him. Jesus is calling somebody right now with that invitation. And after you finish your connection card, if you just fold it over and leave it with an usher, and I will have the privilege of feeling connected with you on my prayer and study day, which is Tuesday. But for now, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you peace. I mark you now as the chosen of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.